Upstate New York's idyllic Finger Lakes region was a world away from the Soviet tank-crowded streets of late 1960s Prague, but it was the setting for Karel Husa's wind ensemble masterpiece Music for Prague, 1968. That's the centerpiece of this Thursday night's Wharton Center concert featuring the Michigan State University Wind Symphony. MSU Director of Bands Professor Kevin Sadatol will lead the ensemble. WKAR's Peter Wharf met with Sadatol at the MSU College of Music this week to talk about Music from Prague, Karel Husa, and the earth-shaking events in the artist's native Czechoslovakia.
Mr. Husa was not there at the time. He was already in the United States teaching at Cornell and Ithaca. But he wrote this piece from his cabin on Lake Cayuga, which is one of the Finger Lakes in upper state New York.
In the summer of 68, I was to write a piece of music, and exactly at the same time, the events happened in Czechoslovakia. Mm-hmm. That is, that Soviet Union occupied my native country. Mm-hmm. And I have learned about it from the transistor radio in the evening at the lake in Ithaca, and the speaker said, "People, listen to this. Soviets are invading Czechoslovakia."
The first injuries and deaths caused by the explosion of a burning ammunition truck. Young people were quick to minimize the danger.
Very meaningful work. It's not really programmatic in nature, per se, because there's nothing specific. It's an overall impression of what happened, what the forewarning was about, was getting ready to happen, and the people of Prague, who are very used to war. The people that city has been, you know, it's been involved for centuries in some kind of overtaking by someone or some group of people. The piece starts off with timpani, very famous timpani, and it's fragments of what will run through the entire piece, a Hussite war chant, which has been part of the Czechoslovakian people for probably 1,000 years. It's very much one of their nationalistic hymns that Husa took and wove it in and out of the piece. You first hear it in the timpani. The timpani will be downstage. It's going to be right in front of the ensemble because it's such an important piece that people I want not only to hear but to see.
This is Peter Wharf for Current State on WKAR. I'm speaking with Kevin Sadatol, who's Director of Bands and Professor of Music here at Michigan State University. The Wind Symphony will be performing at the Wharton Center Thursday night at 7:30 here at the Michigan State University campus. I listened to a couple of recordings, both for the original Wind Orchestra, and then it's transcribed for Symphony Orchestra, too. And it's really interesting to me that it's a, quote, sort of challenging but very listenable piece. It's a very kind of frightening but also uplifting piece of music.
It is. Described the right way and people understand what the piece is about. It is very frightening. It gets very frightening, but does give you this kind of sense of hope. Then we move into the second movement, which is called Aria. But it's not a beautiful aria. It's beautiful in the way that you listen to it. It's painful to hear. It's very sorrowful. The third movement is interlude, and it's all percussion. The entire movement is percussion. Now, this is unusual for a piece that was written in 1968. That never happened in wind repertoire. that you would call on percussion to play out of what would be considered the norm, like the battery percussion, snare drum, bass drum, cymbals, and glockenspiel. This is using all kind of different sounds, with the snare drum leading the way. But what's built around him are bells and chime sounds, emulating the bell, the tower bells from Prague. It's the City of Towers, I believe is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you were trying to hear. The snare drum takes on the role of the military. It's very rudimental in what they're playing. And the vibes and other metallic bell sounds are kind of, it's almost ethereal around this military sound that's coming from the snare drum. Ultimately, through the movement, the snare drum wins out. And it becomes this kind of bombastic, rudimental solo at the end, with the rest of the percussionist joining this very long, sustained roll that gets louder and louder and louder, and finally, it takes us into the finale movement, toccata and chorale. This is the point where the invasion happens, or at least an impression of the invasion happens. You hear all of this kind of, Husa uses these short rhythmic assertions that are Morse code-like. That's what we're trying to hear, people trying to get code out, which they can't. And then it just gets completely bombastic. Husa, in his genius, creates this chaos at the end where the wind players are asked to create all of this chatter on stage that is not written out. It's kind of chance. He gives you kind of suggestions, but nothing synchronized. This is one of the first times that this has happened in wind music. And then you have the snare drum coming through in this very militaristic way. So now you've got the frantic people and the military kind of juxtaposed. Ultimately, this clears, the sound of the chatter of the people clears, you hear the solo snare drum, and then all of a sudden you hear this huge Hussite war chant that is in unison from the ensemble. And what Husa says is that this is kind of the Czechoslovakian people rising up, that their voice will be heard at some point. And obviously we know from history that they did overturn the Soviet reign. I've seen people after this performs this piece in tears, and they're not Czechoslovakian or anything. I had a man that had relatives that survived the Holocaust, and he said this piece hit me in the same way. It's different, but it's the same.
Kevin Sedeschal directs the MSU Wind Symphony on Thursday night at the Wharton Center. Thanks for talking to us today on Current State.
Thank you. Hope we'll see you on Thursday night.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.